Well, that's good stuff right there. I'm telling you what, folks. All those songs we just heard can be heard throughout the week on K-Love, Walk FM, Praise FM. It's all there. That was such an encouraging song right there. That is a sermon in itself. And you can hear those daily out there on your radio waves. There's a commercial for Christianity right there. So take that to note. Man, it's good to be a Christian this morning. I'm so filled right now with the joy that Jesus had put in my heart. Our topic's going to be a bit about our adversary this morning. Our topic, Dave's sermon last week, was about standing our ground. And he preached that Sunday night because he had to work. But along those same lines, I'm going to add to that. Our Bible study's been on the three enemies that is against us. Sean taught Wednesday. Satan, the world, and a carnal man. We're going to focus mainly on our adversary here this morning, who we're up against, and it affects each and every one of us. And we're going to realize, we're going to find out who he's not and who he is here this morning as best we can tell. And he attacks you. He wants to divide you. I couldn't help but think he loves division. He loves breaking up a church. If you've ever been in a broken church, a split church, oh, that is heart-wrenching. I got to thinking about there was two nations, Judah and Israel. He separated. He divided. He's still doing that today. He's trying to divide our country today. And he's succeeding, it seems to be. He's succeeding. Can you believe anything? Do you believe anything you hear on the news? No, there's no source of truth other than the Word of God today. He has distorted that so badly. So we're going to try to, well, as best as this physical man can get conveyed out, that I can get me out of the way and let the Holy Spirit speak these words here this morning that can proclaim Jesus and Him crucified and can help us to establish who our enemy is. Dave preached a sermon a while back. My enemy is not Greg. My enemy is Satan. My enemy is not the drug addict. Our enemy is Satan.
That's right. Amen.
Our enemy is not homosexuality. Our enemy is Satan. I'll be coming out of 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. Now I'll have to read my notes here just to get me up to speed. We preach Christ here. We preach encouragement here. We preach truth here, which is the Word of God. And we are not in competition with other churches, as Satan would want the world to believe. That's a way to divide churches, is bring animosity within our neighbor churches. That's not what Drift Run's about. That's not what comes out of this pulpit. It is to preach truth, and that's why I'm going to preach about the devil today. The devil is not a popular subject. The world kind of wants to ignore that. They'll say, I believe in God, but I don't believe in the devil. Well, if you believe in God, if you believe the Word is a true, inspired Word of God, you got to believe the devil is there too. Well, that is part of it. So we're going to preach the truth this morning, and we're going to just see where the Lord takes us in this sermon topic today. I'm going to read 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you. Take the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Ye of all All of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Key verse. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Let us pray. Lord, as we bow here before you, Lord, this morning with your word open before us, we proclaim you creator, master of all things. We give you glory as best we can, Lord. We ask now that you forgive us. We ask you guide us. We ask you stir within our hearts here this morning through your Holy Spirit. We ask you guide us through your words. Help us to receive truth. Help us to recognize the adversary for what he is. We ask, Lord, you be with our preacher this morning, Lord. We ask for you to lift him up and hug him as only you can right this very minute, Lord. We pray for your guidance, your direction, and again, I ask for your forgiveness where I fail you, Lord. In these favors we ask in Christ's name, and amen. As I was reading that, preparing this, that whole chapter talks about the elders which are among you. That puts us, the leaders of the church, the teachers, the preachers, the elder. Sean is an elder, and we are to proclaim the truth. We are to lay it out there for you to hear, to see, to comprehend. That is important for us to preach the truth. And there again, I'm emphasizing that, to preach the truth of Satan. We love to talk about Jesus and his love and his goodness, but sometimes it's hard to talk about the evilness that Satan does out there, the evilness that he wants to do to you, the thoughts that can be set in front of your eyes and in your head. Feed the flock. That's the important thing. If you're a Christian here this morning, feed the flock. It says, but willingly, not by filthy lucre, but of the mind. Do it with a sincere heart. Neither be as lords over God's heritage, but being examples. How's your example this morning? Think about that. Satan wants to ruin your example. He wants folks that's not Christians, that know you're a Christian, to be able to sit around and say, did you hear what he just said? Did you see where he just went? Did you see what he just done? That's the point right here, is lead by example. Okay. What Satan is not. What Satan is not. Now we know he wants to copy. He wants to imitate. He wants to be God. He said he wants to be like the Most High, right? That's what got him cast out. But he's trying to assume the position of God. He's trying to assume the position of Christ. But here's a few things he is not. Omnipotent. Everybody know what omnipotent means? Omnipotent means all power. Satan is a created being. Satan is limited. Remember that when you hear, the devil made me do it. No, he did not. He presented the option for you to choose to do it, but he did not. He is not omnipotent. Only God is omnipotent. He is not omnipresent. That means he's everywhere. He's not. He is limited. He has a lot of buddies that run everywhere. You hear about Legion, which says we are many, had the man possessed in Gadagreen, or however that word is. It says we are many. Only God is omnipresent. He uses his followers, his demons, and worshipers to do his evil. He is not I just say omniscience because I can't say it correctly. Omniscience or something like that it is. And that means all-knowing. He is not. So don't give Satan more credit than he's due. The world wants to portray Satan as somebody that's equal to God. And if you are equal or a total exact opposite, you know, how many times you've seen the angel and the devil on the shoulder, you know, and they're arguing back and forth. For something to be a total opposite, they have to have the same power. Satan does not have the same power. But the world wants us to think so. He does not. He does not. If you're a born again Christian, greater is he that is within you than he that is within the world. Who is within you when you become a Christian? The Holy Spirit. And that's the Trinity, part of the Trinity of God. That's God in the Spirit, which resides in you. Greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. You have authority over Satan to tell him to flee in Jesus' name. That's in Jesus' authority. Now we're going to talk just a little bit about what he is. And I'm going to say some words here that I looked them up. I hadn't remembered reading them in the scriptures. Abaddon is found in Revelation chapter 9, verse 11. It and Apollyon means exactly the same thing. You know what that means? Satan is? He is a destroyer. He is a destroyer. Look at family breakups in the world today. You know, they talk about I remember when they said over 50, when the statistic got to over 50% of marriages ended in breakups. Who do you think's behind that? Who do you think's behind that? Satan. He wants to destroy a family. When he can destroy a marriage, which is based on, it was a creation by God himself, if he can break that up, look how it affects all those around, children, moms, dads, aunts, uncles, friends, neighbors, churches, communities. He's an accuser. Sean, he'll stand before God and say, that's Sean Murray. He's blah. He'll say, Ron, or say, God, that Ron, Mike, every one of us, he's accusing you.
That's right.
Amen. He's accusing you. That's who Satan is. Our adversary. The word adversary literally means enemy. That's in the Greek. That's everywhere in the New Testament. That not everywhere, but most places in the New Testament in the Greek, that meant your enemy. So I couldn't help but think right then, those that worship him, how could they worship an enemy? They are they are so deceived by the lie that he tells. Belial in 2 Corinthians 6:15 means the sons of the devil. Belial, sons of the devil. Beelzebub is another name for Satan. The god of this world is a liar and a deceiver. Murderer. And I thought, how was he a murderer? Now think about it. When God told Adam and Eve, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, lest ye die. And Satan got right up in their ear and said, surely you won't die. And they ate. And what happened to them? They died. He is a murderer. He'll lie to you just as quick as Well, he'll lie to you before he'll tell you the truth. That's who Satan is. That's our adversary. That's what we're up against. That's what we got to preach about here this morning. We got to realize we have a Savior in Jesus Christ. Well, we had an enemy out there that wants to defeat you. He wants to defeat us as a church, as a people, as a country. John Arnold would always tell me, misery loves company. Satan knows his demise, and he wants to get back at God and take every one of you, we, with him. We got to realize what we're up against, okay? I hope you get that this morning, because we're going to talk a little bit about the power to overcome him, that we don't have to live a life where he's a kicking in our shins all the time. Ephesians chapter 2. See, I like sermons when you preach about the goodness of God and the saving grace and the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's exciting stuff. That's good stuff. But I kind of knew this morning preaching about Satan, and there's nothing exciting about Satan. There's nothing good about Satan. There's nothing to proclaim about Satan other than he's our adversary. He hates you. He hates you. He hates you. Think about that. That's a strong word. But he hates you with all that he has. Do you realize that? You ever hear somebody tell you, well, you go to hell. And the guy will respond, well, I did, but I got kicked out for selling ice water. Funny stuff like that. It's not funny. Satan is not funny. Satan hates you, hates you, hates you. And anybody that would tell you different, they're a liar. Ephesians chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 2 through 4. Says, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That's referring to Satan right there. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even unto others. Talking about our sin nature. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And what that is talking about, till you got saved, till you received the Holy Spirit into your life, till you repented of your sin and confessed Jesus as Savior, you were under his thumb. You were under Satan's control. Admit it or not. People say, I'm not going to serve nobody. Well, if you're not serving Jesus, you're serving Satan, whether you like it or not, whether you know it or not, whether you care or not. You are. He is our adversary. He hates you. Let's go to Romans 16. Romans chapter 16, going to read verses 17 to 20. Now listen, this is the word of God speaking to us. This is Paul's letter to the Romans. Here's what we can do about Satan. But I now I beseech you, brethren, mark them with many which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. You know you can avoid Satan? For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore in your behalf, but yet I have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. Verse 20 says, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. He's talking about right there, avoiding those that have a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. You know, this is something I've done for about 3 or 4 years now, because I went through a struggle and Satan stole my joy and he had me down and he had me bound up. And I've learned, and you can, and I can tell you truthfully, it works. But don't take my word for it. Put it in action. When Satan is messing with you, when one of his demons is messing with you, say, "Get thee behind me in Jesus' name." And always say, "In Jesus' name." And it works. It works. The Word of God says that it will work. And it works in my life. It does. It's awesome. When some picture shows up in your mind or a thought shows up in your mind, it's like, where did that come from? Well, you know where it came from. But through the blood of the Lamb and the word of His testimony, you can say in Jesus' name, "Satan, get thee behind me. Clear the area. You have no business here. There's no place here. I don't want you here." Do you realize that? We think Satan has all this power. When you're born again, you have that power. Amen. Through Jesus Christ. Take advantage of that. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to read verses 11 through 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11 through 14 says, "Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." That's telling us right there, the Word of God is written so we can look and we can see what has happened, and we can depend on that. We can apply the events, their experiences in our own lives. And that's right there with, "Get thee behind me, Satan." There's many examples of what Satan done, the deceptions he did. So it's not like he's going to tempt us with something that is not in the Scriptures. But let's read on. It says, "Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmur and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." You think you could stand up to the devil on your own? No. Verse 13 says, "There has no temptation taken you by such as common to man, but God is faithful." Hear the word of God. He is faithful. Is Satan faithful? Never a bit of a description of Satan being faithful. God is faithful. "Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." That's through Jesus Christ. That's the power that you have over Satan, is through Jesus Christ. I looked up when Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness. The first temptation was for he told Jesus to turn that stone into bread. Because Jesus had fasted for 40 days. He was obviously hungry. And he was in a fleshly body, just as we are. We would have been hungry. And what Jesus say, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God." And that stands true to us today. We cannot live by just eating. We got to be fed spiritually. And the second temptation was, he took him up on the pinnacle and said, "Throw yourself off and the angels will come and save you." He said, "It is written." Jesus, every time, went to the Scriptures. You know, we can do that. We have the Scriptures. We can go to the Scriptures, and it says, "It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord thy God." And the third temptation was he took him up on this mountain and showed him all the wonders of the world and said, "I'll give this all to you." He was offering him power. But Jesus' response says, it is written, worship the Lord thy God and him only. So you think you've been tempted by anything that Jesus was not? Let's look at James, and I'm about done. James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verses 5 through 7. It says, do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in you lusteth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Now listen right here. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. What's that mean? Give yourself to God. And he says, resist the devil. Tell him to get behind you. And what will he do? Flee. And flee doesn't mean hang around. Flee means he's leaving. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Draw nigh to God. How are you drawing nigh to God here today? How is your life? Are you drawing nigh to him, or are you just kind of hanging out? You know, just... I remember a guy used a big old long line and put him right in the middle. This is the world. This is God, right in the middle. So as we know today, the world's getting farther and farther away from God, right? So that gap is growing, right? And if you want to stay in the middle, what happens when the world gets farther away and you want to stay right in the middle? Where are you going? Further away. Draw nigh to God. That's all that matters. Satan's going to spend eternity in hell.
That's right.
And he wants you to go with him. Draw nigh unto God. There is no reason for us to be in the middle. There is every reason for us to be drawn nigh to God. There is nothing worth your family. There is nothing worth Jesus Christ in your life. There is nothing worth going to hell over. Nothing. 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 I see brothers argue over a piece of dirt and their worlds are exploded, and that's an act of Satan. And what was that worth? A piece of dirt. There's nothing worth your family. Satan wants to destroy your family. There is nothing worth your church. And that means the local body of Christ. It's not a possession of ours. It's something we're part of. Satan wants to destroy that. Satan would love nothing more than to make you mad at her. And it could just spread like wildfire. There ain't nothing worth that. So anything in your life that's drawing you to Satan, business dealings, jobs, anything that's drawing you away from God, that's making you think, well, is of Satan and it's not worth it. And I'm going to finish with Ephesians chapter 6. And you'll recognize this right here, but it is readily available. You don't have to buy it. You don't have to order it from Amazon. You don't have to go to Walmart or Cabela's. It is readily available right here, right now. Listen to what the Word of God says. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, if we were weak in the Lord, Satan will know that. Satan will be creeping in there. But if we're strong in the Lord, Satan don't have a chance. And in the power of His might, we can't do it on our own. We need the power of God in our life. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand the wiles of the devil. And that's all the trickery he knows he will use on you and me. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. This is good stuff right here. but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Just back up and read verse 11 again. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, we always say, you know, me and Greg could fight it out and settle a difference between us. But we can't fight what we don't see. Okay? But against principalities, and I've noticed this is plural. It tells me that Satan and all his followers, we don't wrestle against one, we wrestle against legion, which is many. But against powers and against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Go to verse 14. It says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. What is truth? Do you get the truth off CNN? Do you get the truth off Fox News? No. The truth is right here. The truth lies right here. The only truth that will protect you from the wiles of the devil. The truth of anything on news channels or any of that is mostly hearsay or I made it up. This is the true inspired word of God, and it has the authority. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And I just had a note right there. That is the foundation that Jesus Christ established. That's the foundation that we point to right here. It's not about this, it's about that. That is that your foundation today? Is that what your foothold is when you stand against the devil? Is Jesus Christ. That's where it's got to be. That's where it's got to be. That's where it's got to be. You don't have a chance if you're standing on sandy ground. If you're standing on your own abilities, you will fail. Satan will crush you. We got to stand on the Word of God. We got to stand on the foundation that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, died a horrendous death on the cross in our place, was dead in the grave and rose again and now sits on the right hand of the Father. That's where your foundation has got to be. Amen. Satan wants to lie to us and tell us that's not true, that didn't happen, blah, 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 blah. You've got to stand on that. It says, above all, taking the shield of faith in I must have wrote this down when I heard a sermon or something. The shield of faith is trust. Do you trust in God today? Do you trust in the authority of Jesus Christ over death, hell, and the grave? Do you trust Him today? Do you trust Him today with your salvation? Do you trust Him with your eternal life? If you're not saved here this morning, you need to come because Satan is playing with you. Satan is lying to you. He's deceiving you and he's got you right where he wants you. If you're not saved today, he'll tell you, you're okay. Surely you won't die. You will die. The Word of God says you will die because you are born of a sin nature. You can come right here this morning or right there in your pew. If you bow your head before an almighty and powerful God and confess Jesus as your Savior and you repent of your sin, you can have that foundation. You can deny Satan's access to you. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Have you ever been stuck with a dart? Ask my younger brother Jeff what it feels like. He just happened to be at the wrong, well, we literally throw them at each other, but I seen one stick right in his arm, and it hurt. And Satan's throwing them at you guys all the time, throwing it at me all the time. He's throwing them at everybody all the time. He hates you. He hates you. He hates you. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And the note I have wrote there is knowledge. That's what he talks about. Sean talks about. That guy and that guy talk about all the time is study the Word of God. I'm reading that book that Olita had written. And the power of the Scriptures. She read some verses the other day that had seven words in them. And there was, I don't remember, eight or ten, however it was. You know, we look at the Word of God as the complete Word of God. But every one of those Scriptures in itself, I found complete. That's the power of the Word of God. That's what we need to stand against the wiles of the devil. And that's constant digging into the Word of God. And I'm telling you, if you're missing services that you could come to, they're real encouraging. We're learning so much on Wednesday nights. And it's not something that we're doing. It's something that some people are willing to share what the Lord has laid on our hearts. And we've learned so much in the last few years on Wednesday nights in our spiritual growth. I'm speaking for myself. I don't know about others, but I know it's helping me to grow. Okay, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I was reading an article in a magazine was talking about prayer. And earlier in the Sunday school class was talking about prayer. And we're talking about praise. And I listened to a sermon on prayer one time, where I read it. I can't remember for sure. But anyways, always start your prayer out with praises to our Father in heaven. Don't fall on your face and say, "Oh God, I need money to buy a car." Bow on our face humbly and give God the praise He deserves richly. He deserves it because of what He made. He deserves it for who He is. He deserves it for what He has done for each and every one of us. He's not a what they call a rabbit's foot, a good luck charm, a last resort. No, give Him the praise that He deserves. And that's talking about, what I'm talking about right now is to strengthen us to be stronger. Well, Satan's going to be waiting right out there. He's not. He's not afraid of you. He knows his demise. He's going to keep attacking you. Put on the whole armor. Amen. As you come get a song there. Verse 19 says, "And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." Are you afraid to tell Satan to get away from you? Are you afraid to tell somebody Jesus loves them? Say it boldly.